Okay, what's happening, everybody?
Log Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Welcome. It's that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour, and we are talking about that time with the K Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I am commonly known as The Sun, also known to some people as Citizen Payne, also known to other people as Eric Payne, and you are?
Now, who do you think I am?
Speak up.
Now, who do you think I am? If you're my son, I am your mother.
Okay, speak up a little
bit. Hey, Eric. Well, I can't. It's so cold.
Okay, but you're going to have to speak up so people can hear you.
I know, and I do that every week. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, we have an exciting guest on today on K Thompson Live, everyone. And her name is Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby-Grant. And I'm quite sure everybody remembers Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby-Grant, psychologist, educator, TV and radio personality. And she is going to be calling in from Florida.
Good.
And we're going to be talking about a number of issues, especially, you know, while she's going to give an analysis. And then we're going to have that very interesting conversation with her about the present person in the White House. And she has some really very exciting things to talk about. And she has, you know, really, she's a psychologist. She's been on television. Everybody knows about Dr. Gwen. We used to listen to her all the time, even when I was over at WIBBOS. I would have her on my show over there. So, and we are waiting for her to call in, and she will be calling in very shortly. So you remember all the fun we used to have, right, Eric?
Yeah. I'm just trying to get situated here, everybody. Can we just turn this heat off, please? I need to turn that burning up in here. So we're going to have Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby-Grant on, ladies and gentlemen. Also, we're going to be talking about, obviously, the Senate race last night. The big shocker, and also, like my mother said, we're going to be talking about the president and how he's 0-for-2 now, and also want to know if how many people think that his tweet suggesting that very negative, nasty things about Senator Gillibrand affected the outcome of the election. So let's go to our other guest host, Mr. Wayne, legendary newsman Gilman. Hello, Wayne. How are you, sir?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Eric Payne and Familia. How's everyone doing?
All right, all right. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm very excited, very optimistic. I mean, what a difference a day makes. You know, I, like you and many others, sat and watched the results last night. And in the beginning, I was a little concerned. But thank God we were able to pull it off. And I feel the end is near. I think it is so close now between the federal investigation, the congressional hearings and what's been coming out of that, and last night's contest. You know, I just feel that we're just marking time now until, you know, the propitious moment strikes where we could say an end to this administration, and that's it. That's how optimistic I am.
Well, yeah, it certainly looks like it. My mother's sick. Do you want to say something about
that? Yeah, I want to tell Wayne. Wayne, we're going to be having on Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby-Grant on. You remember her, of course. And
right,
she's going to be calling in from Florida. And she's going to be, I don't know, she's going to be doing a psychological, you know, take on the person still in the White House. But it's going to be very interesting and very exciting. So we're waiting for her to call in.
Okay. But while we're doing that, let's talk about the news at hand and all the news that's on hand as the Senate race, where Doug Jones beat out Roy Moore. We know that in Alabama there is at least a base that we can't go any lower. Yes, I see that. Thank you very much. There's a base that we at least can't go any lower. So that's a good thing. to know that there's a ceiling somewhere. Let's set up the discussion first, Ma, then we'll go to the guests, okay? And I also want to bring in our resident guest host, Byron Saunders. Hey, Byron, how you doing?
Good evening, Eric, Wayne, and the estimable Kay Thompson Live. I'm doing great. The Jones victory in Alabama is a rebuke of Trump, Bannon, Moore, and GOP moral depravity. And we'll come back to that, I am sure.
Yeah.
But
okay.
It's a blessed day.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to be coming now to Dr. Gwendolyn. I'm so excited, I'm stuttering. Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant. Eric Kennerman. Dr. Grant, are you on the air?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, how are you?
A wonderful show. I've been listening. Eric Kane and
good
Kay.
To have you.
Eric Kane and Kay.
You're on with Wayne Hill and Byron Saunders and a whole lot of people listening, and very exciting to hear that you're
this
back
is
in
a very
the,
exciting moment.
What, really?
This is an exciting moment in our history. We decided to get a worldview. Let me explain when I say a worldview. We've been looking at a lot of things on television, including a black woman being introduced into the British monarchy, a divorced black woman.
Yeah.
And I think our countrymen began to say, here the British are inviting a black divorced woman into the monarchy, and we're still over here talking about slavery and Bannon and holding people back and going back to slavery, and slavery was all right. We were beginning to look like fools in the world view. So good Americans, solid Americans, white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans, gay Americans decided, I don't want to look like a fool. And so they gave Trump a message that they have a different worldview. Because Michelle Obama said, when you go down, we go up. When you go low, we go high. Well, I say, when you go back, we go forward. Right into the future, and that's what they did in Alabama. They went into the future and put the past behind us. I'm so excited, I don't know what to do with myself. So I have an investment in Alabama. I own property in Alabama. I'm a taxpayer in Alabama. I own property in Bibb County. My great-grandfather, who died at 110 years of age, left his property to me that he acquired after slavery. He was born into slavery in 1844. So I have an investment in what happened in Alabama. And I'm never going to sell that property, ever, because he paid for it with his blood, sweat, tears, and his back. So I have a great investment in Alabama, by the way. I want everyone to know that. A great-grandfather who did not die until he was born in 1844, January 1st, did not die until 1954. And I was alive when he died. And that's my investment in what happened in Alabama. And I'm still a taxpayer because I own hundreds of acres in Bibb County, Alabama. So
what do you think
what
about
happened,
Trump?
He was trying to invite us back to where my great-grandfather left in when the war ended 1865. He was trying to take us back there, okay? As a matter of fact, Amorosa just left. Amorosa, the black woman who's with him. She came to herself, and I think they fired her. You know,
she came to herself.
Thank you. Who said that?
I Wayne Gilman. Good evening, Doctor. That is the most inexplicable resignation on the planet.
Yes.
And she said she allegedly resigned, but I saw some reports from April Ryan from the American Urban Radio Network saying that there was some backlash last night between her and Kelly.
That's right.
President Trump's, chief counsel there.
Chief counsel,
And the deal is that they came to blows verbally, and she decided to, or he decided to, because there's still no understanding. She's saying resignation, and there's wide speculation it was a firing. You know, there was
it was a firing.
Profanity.
She came to herself. You are right. She came to herself.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I, to be honest with you, I happen to have a problem with, I know that we're not a monolith, but I happen to have a problem with black folk like her. And it has nothing to do with sex. It just has to do with one's socioeconomic background and their intellect, the level of intellect and how they perceive things, and just choose to ignore what struggles were made to make it possible for her to do the very little that she did. And
no,
I don't know if Trump
was... She has no sense of history.
Oh,
who
yeah,
cares?
No, please.
Who cares what
no,
she
no,
did?
No. In a
well,
vacuum.
I'm not
information
in
vacuum from day one.
Mm-hmm. But who cares about her, Wayne? You know, I want to get to your analysis about Trump. Okay?
Yes.
You know, I want
yes.
you to talk and tell us what's wrong with this fool.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Okay.
One of the things, he's an egomaniac. You know, he has an ego that is worldwide. I saw I forget what station it was on, not too long ago, before he became president, how his parents sent him to a military school to teach him discipline. Because he was always talking, I mean mine all the time. A very egocentric, maniac person. And they tried to send him to military school to get him some discipline. And they never did. I really think he needs psychiatric evaluation. And some psychiatrist needs to get on television and give his expertise on this man's behavior. Because all about himself. Even his daughter said, there's a special
mm-hmm.
place in hell
mm-hmm.
for men
exactly.
for men who play with little girls. And he was angry with her, and that's his child. So anybody who has these kinds of psychological components, I call them, need an analysis. And that's what we're dealing with in this country. A man who is a nonstop self-promoter. And this is supposed to be about the citizens of the country, not about you. You're just a symbol of the citizens. You're not the country. But this man behaves like he's the country, okay? And we're just the slaves. And I call it, it's a reinstitution of the slave mentality, master-slave, slave master. We must have a master. And I think that's what he's developed in his psychology. But we've come to our senses, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to hear this. We've come to our senses. 98% of black women voted more for Jones than they did for Hillary in Alabama.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So here we are. We must congratulate the white people of Alabama, especially those young people in Alabama, who came to their senses and formed what I call a coalition in Alabama of blacks, white, Hispanics, smart young people, all together, and they formed a coalition. And they said no to Trump and his egomaniac behavior. They said no. No one thought this was going to happen. Did you hear the newscasters predicting that? They forecasted that he was going to win more. Although young white boys were carrying signs, said no, M-O-O-R-E, no more. Did you see that on television?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, no more, okay? But they never thought this was going to happen. So I really think he needs... Yes.
How you doing? I was at the tendency to call you Aunt Gwen. Aunt Gwen, hey Aunt Gwen, how you doing?
Yes, please do. Please do.
So
I love you.
Assessment, I love you too. My assessment mm-hmm. is that I don't know whether they came to this. Maybe the young ones did. But like I was saying earlier, that we at least know that there's a base, that they have a bottom. And I think that it seems that a lot of them couldn't bring themselves, particularly with all of the with the child molestation and the pedophile accusations against Roy Moore. A lot of them just couldn't bring themselves to vote for him at the end. I mean, they still wanted to find a Republican to vote for. They would never, and they said they would never vote for a Democrat. So I'm wondering if he was just a little bit above a pedophile, would they have voted for him, you know? I mean, obviously Trump, they voted for Trump, and he's got all these women coming out now that are saying, that had been saying that he's been groping, and he's on tape saying it, where he tried to say something crazy that it wasn't him, they fixed the tape or whatever. So I'm wondering, you know, because it was to that level of an extreme and that level of depravity, that was the linchpin. And also, I want to ask you, from your expertise, do you think that Trump's tweet about Senator Gillibrand earlier in the morning yesterday, where he was trying to insinuate or suggest that she would do anything for money, said that she would do anything for money, but we all know what he was implying.
Do you think
that that is what tipped the scales in some Alabamans' mind, and particularly women, that no, we can't vote for Roy?
His evaluation of women comes right out of slavery. Listen, let me give you a psychological point of view that no one would ever think of except Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant. I have a strong historical view of the world because I knew my great-grandfather, who was 110, and was born into slavery. Huh? So one of the things I've discovered is for almost 300 years, these white men had access to all women's bodies and nonstop almost for 300 years. They could have sex with my grandmother. That's why I have green eyes. They could have sex with my grandmother, and his white wife couldn't even stop him and call the police from him going back in the slave quarters. Now, he did this for almost 300 years. So he developed that psychology. A psychology said that women are just a piece of tail. They're not a, he didn't even allow her, his white wife, to vote until 1920.
Right.
We're talking 16, 17, 18. Not until the 19th century. His own wife could not vote. So you see, he's had access to our bodies for almost 300 years, nonstop. So he never valued the female body or the female mind. He only valued the body because that's what he was going into. He didn't think we had a mind. But you, do you see the psychology developed by the white man in this country?
Mm-hmm.
And no one can stop him? You couldn't even call the police.
Go ahead, Molly.
Byron and Wayne, let's get you in here on here. But let's the doctor, you know, really examine this nut.
Right.
Let me
before you guys jump in, let me just say real quick, and I agree with that notion on Gwen. And as you guys jump in, I take it even a little bit further, that during those 300 or 400 years that the slave master was God. He was master of his land.
Thank you.
Those acres.
Thank you.
And those acres, which ended up being almost small states in terms of how much land they would grab, they were
that's
the
right.
ones. They were the law. They were the end all be all. So that's why any
that's
type
right.
of depravity, if you just look at some
that's
of these
right.
movies, any type of whatever came to mind with these barbaric, sick
that's
individuals,
right.
they could do.
That's right.
Not only to the slaves, but like you said, to their wives who
own,
were the
to
same
their
color
own
they were.
Daughters and wives.
So
don't you see?
So when
don't
we
you
go,
see how they accepted that about Moore? They
mm-hmm.
said, you know, back in the day, you
exactly.
know, my grandmother was only 13 years old when she got married, you know, and had babies at 15. They accepted this
right.
as normal behavior.
Right. They're acting like, I mean, the one guy when Vice News, if you guys have seen the clip that Vice News went down and talked to some Roy Moore supporters, there was one guy, heavyset guy, talking about, you know, just the exact same thing that you said. When my grandmother
right.
was a girl, they would almost think it was, they would be thrilled to have a district attorney dating their 12-year-old. I wanted to call up and say, man, this is not 1857. We're not on the prairie.
You just hit it on the head. Yes, it is for them. Yes, it is.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
that's why he rode his horse
that's
to the polls. He, he thought he was still back then in John Wayne type of thing.
Their psychology is still there. One of the things I said to myself, you know, am I listening to this? Am I hearing what's going on? I realize now the impact of having 300 years of what I call a slave economy. That's why they outsource now. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is why they outsource now. Why are they outsourcing instead of giving Americans jobs? Because they're still looking for a slave economy, that they fought a war rather than give up.
Yeah.
Don't you see the psychology that's developed in this country? They fought a civil war rather than give up the slave economy. And what are they searching for? They're searching for the reinstatement through outsourcing of the slave economy.
Their supremacy.
Very well put.
Have their supremacy.
Yes.
Let me. And the historian, Byron, why don't you get in here? Because I was talking to my cousin Rick Thigpen, who studied history and teaches at Rutgers.
Yes.
And he pointed out, and you as the historian, Byron, probably a student of history, I forgot that it was the South that declared war on the North in the Civil War, right?
That's right.
Trying
to preserve the slave economy.
Exactly.
It was in 1861 when the South determined it was going to secede from the Union.
From the Union.
And if you listen to the explanations of today's 2017 Alabamians, the white ones, with respect to their notions of this gentility from the Southern plantation on forward, you will hear the same arguments that were held right back in 1861 in the floor of the United States Congress.
And the notion that our
journalists who created more of an aurora than necessary were indicating that, well, let's leave it up to the Alabama voters. That's the same idea that was postured back in 1861. Let's leave it up to the Southerners. So
that's
we
right.
haven't really advanced beyond that point, which Dr. Goldsby Grant has indicated, and ultimately, and you know what, Dr. Grant, one of the things that surprised me the most is that they underestimated the power of our votes. Voter suppression is not just redistricting and redlining. It is all about engaging in a psychological warfare to make us think that we are a minority.
Yes.
We're not a minority, folks.
Yes. Yes.
We are a majority in this country. White people are a minority.
Yes.
And anytime you have less than 50% of the voter public participate in your election, you are indicating and playing right into the concept of voter suppression because you don't want more than 50 plus 1% to participate in your election. Because if they do, you're not going to win.
Yes. One of the things, I just keep thinking of Medgar Evers, who died in his driveway. They shot him because he was. Every time I vote, I think of Medgar Evers. Okay, die. Any black person who does not vote is in denial of the people who died so they could vote. Listen to this word: states' rights. When they couldn't win the war, they went back to states' rights. Because they wanted to keep implementing the slave master mentality. So they created a whole nother slave mentality after the Civil War called states' rights.
And under the guise, and then they created Jim Crow.
And then they, as a backup, that was the backup. But did you realize that they used our backs to build an economy that caught up to European and British economy? For 300 years, they caught up. How did they caught up? Because they didn't pay us.
Right. The cotton industry is what drove American economy when we're in an agricultural society.
We're an agricultural society, and cotton was king.
Exactly.
And guess what? Guess what happened during the war? You couldn't plant any more cotton. Guess what they did? Most people don't know this. They went to India with the British to redevelop the cotton industry. That's why they tried to take over India, because they had the
right
climate. And most people don't know this, because they still needed that cotton during the war. So they started the cotton industry in India. and India had to mm-hmm. fight against them and get their freedom. And most people don't even know that. They mm-hmm. were fighting a war on all forces to keep this economy, this slave economy, going. Oh, this is so interesting.
What I wanted to point out, too, was that a couple of things. First, I wanted to really point out the media, you know, and the news. They keep saying, and we're jumping back and forth between slavery days and modern days, but I wanted to touch on this current day point before I forget it. You know, it's interesting how they always talk about the media does this and the news does this, and we don't want the media coming down here. And they've twisted what the purpose of the media and the news is to tell the news, to tell what's going on in different parts of the country, right? So mm-hmm. just like when I was a boy, and this during the civil rights era, when they didn't want the news and the media coming down, shining a light on what they were doing, they were getting upset, which is why now that we have the Republican Party talking about everybody's listening to the media. Yeah, because the media is shining light on the fact that you guys are down here messing with little girls. You can't do that no more, man.
That's
why they have a problem with the media, because they're shining a light on all that backwards, backwood, inbred stuff that they used to do all those years ago, just like they did during the civil rights era, shining a light on how they were treating black people back then. That's why they twist it around and say, don't believe the media. Fake news. Why? Because the media is telling what y'all are doing?
Right.
Because the media is shining a light on the crimes that you guys are committing? That's why you don't trust the media? I mean, I understand there's certain valid points to that argument, because we know on the other side they have the Fox Network that basically is a propaganda tool of them. That's why they stopped running this guy Tom Sawyer's ads. You know, the guy Tom Sawyer that's talking about we need to impeach Trump. They stopped running his ads on Fox, and he's a billionaire buying ad time. So how many times do you know a TV network is going to turn down money?
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, Aunt Glenn.
When you get control of the media, you are a tyrant, just like Putin in Russia. He has control of the media, okay? When you get control of the media, you have a tyrant operating, okay?
Thing that really I find so, you know, I have to agree with everybody about the control factor, but we have to have a free press. That's the whole issue.
Right.
You know, corporations have taken over, and everybody who has a particular corporate interest will have their points espoused, and this is what's going on between Fox, MSNBC, Tool of General Electric, and I forgot the other partner in there, and CNN, you know. I mean, we need to have a free press, and there should be a spotlight on every inequity, on both sides of the aisle. Doesn't matter, you know. I mean, I was just having a conversation with a relative of mine a moment ago about the whole John Conyers piece, and she couldn't understand it, and this is a woman of my age, and felt, well, he should have been given a pass. Well, if it's wrong, it's wrong.
I
didn't get the Franken thing last week, but it became clear to me this week why Franken was made the scapegoat, why the Democrats were all in unison about getting him out. Because the agenda is, we have an elected president, whether illegally elected or legitimately elected, who has a history abusing women, and it should not have been, and it should not be. He should be over some ethics committee.
Right.
You know, I thought the whole Electoral Congress, and forgive me if I'm wrong, maybe Byron can straighten this out because my memory's not what it used to be, but I thought was the purpose of keeping idiots like, if I may say so, Trump, from being in office.
Let me give you an example of the double standard in our country. When Billy Bush played that tape of Trump talking trash, Billy Bush got fired and Trump got the presidency.
Yes, he
did.
Yeah, Bush did that.
That's right. You hear the double standard? Okay, he became president, and Billy Bush got fired. Okay.
Well, one thing that we can
point to that just happened yesterday, and I don't know if any of you saw this, but the Justice Department is now investigating Fox Network for their involvement in possible collusion with the Russians with the floating hat. So that's huge, folks.
When did that happen?
Justice Department is investigating Fox Network. I saw this in yesterday's, I think it was the New York Times. Well, I saw it as posted notice that this is something that's ongoing. And you won't hear this because obviously it is one of the things we're finding out about Mueller's investigation is that we get the information sifted after 2 or 3 weeks when it's been done. But it's in motion, folks. And this collusion because this whole Russian involvement is deep.
Yes.
I heard about that a little time ago. Okay, that they were on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to be expected. Trump is crazy.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And he is going to be involved in the whole country into a huge mess. He has got to go. Am I right, Gwen?
I think this is so important because he's endangering us on the international scale, what he's doing with Korea.
He is absolutely losing it. He is losing his sanity.
Yeah. Somebody said he watches 4 to 6 hours of television and drinks 12 Diet Cokes. I mean, that's not normal. Not in my opinion.
No.
I really think he really needs an analysis. And the danger of it, we're on a world scale that we could go into a third world war. That's what bothers me. Okay? The decisions that we make could determine our eternal destiny.
Right.
I have a question.
I was going to say really quickly, before you get that question, there have been a group of mental health professionals that have put out a collective statement that his mental health is questionable. His extreme narcissism is something that is detrimental from a mental standpoint. That's all I wanted to say. You had a question, Byron.
Yeah, my question, I'm going to open this up to everyone. My question is this. Prior to the 3 days ago when we heard him snorting and slurring in a press conference.
Yes, I heard that.
Was it ever revealed that he had dentures? Because a couple of people who I've spoken to who are familiar with drug addiction – have indicated, as Carrie Fisher did back during the campaign when they were campaigning back in the pre-election, campaign, everybody was talking about his nose condition, and they were Carrie Fisher said that is the indicative of a cocaine addiction, trying to breathe heavily. I mean, is it not possible that we should, because if it is a situation, a drug test is easy, a clip of his hair would reveal it, and ultimately,
Why not?
Yes.
That's exactly right. They want welfare recipients to take a urine test, just to get food stamps. So why not? I want to know.
And he's a beneficiary.
There's a situation going on that we're not being told. You know how long they kept Alzheimer's away from the public with respect to Ronald Reagan?
Right.
Come on, man. It's not without plausibility.
He has not gone for his medical test yet. He's supposed to have a medical test as president, and he hasn't gone for it yet.
Well, he's above that. He's immune from having a test done, you know. He's rewritten the script.
We haven't got any tax returns either. No tax returns either.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't know anything about his health or his wealth. His health or his wealth, okay?
That's right.
We know nothing.
Do you know
his psychological profile is being questioned. every day.
I would hope a team of psychiatrists would get together and say it on television.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
They've come close. I mean, I've seen interviews like that. Yeah, I mean, it's not to say, you know, there's enough speculation that, you know, to add to the fodder that there's something there, you know? But I don't know. As far as him wearing dentures, somebody said something about that the other day. Why would he buy dentures when he can get James Brown implants? He's got that kind of money. You know, he's got that kind of money. He could look like James tomorrow. He could probably dye his hair black and look, you know.
Let me get a word in here. As we're talking, you know, every time I think of Trump, I think about the days, the plantation days. I've made notes to myself. You remember Miss Scarlet? Gone with the Wind?
Miss Scarlet.
Yes.
You remember the book, Shango?
Yes.
The South is different now, baby.
Shango. You know what Shango
did?
Right. Who was
the new
South star on that?
Jamie Foxx
shot everybody in Shango.
Right.
That was a good
dynamite I'm glad you introduced humor into it, Kay, because if we don't introduce humor, we would stay angry all the time. And he's not worth my anger.
Absolutely. But analysis, yes.
Analysis, yes. Coming together like you did in Alabama, yes.
Uh-huh.
Telling him no to his worldview, yes. Go from segregation to elevation. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also his, you know, he came out and said, I originally supported Luther Strange, and, you know, he's always the guy that's flipping it, that he's never losing. You know, he'll always flip it to a win.
Right.
And I tell people, you know, in discussions, I tell people, first off, you got to realize Donald Trump, he's a New Yorker, East Coast. You talk trash, he's going to talk trash back, right? That's just what we do. Going to try to talk trash 10 times, going to hit you 10 times harder. He's like the. Mm-hmm. We assumed he was the rough and tumble businessman. Come to find out, he's not the businessman that he was claiming all these years, because a lot of banks and a lot of entities won't do business with him. He's reneged on a lot of his bills. He doesn't pay people. He doesn't pay workers. Mm-hmm. So clearly, that was a whole facade that he was just getting over off of the Trump name and licensing his name. So I mean, you know, he's a fraud, and I don't think he wants to be president.
Yes.
I mean, now he's there, he's trying to set up all his own businesses. But if you remember back to the election night and the look on his face when he came out, it was like, oh shoot, I got to be president. I won, damn it, I won, damn it, I won. You know, and
Do you want to hear his psychological reason for becoming president, wanting to become president, had to do with Barack Obama. It had to do with him wanting to get rid of his legacy. And that is what his motivation was. You remember at that journalist convention when he was sitting there and Obama got on him and he couldn't answer? He was building up steam right then and there. And he decided that's why he wanted to become president, so he could disenfranchise, because every other word he speaks is about getting rid of Obama's legacy. And that's a very sick point of view.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, particularly in light of, I'm glad you brought that up, because in light of the USA editorial where they said he's not fit to clean the toilets in the Obama Presidential Library.
Did you hear that?
Nor is he fit to shine George Bush's shoes.
That was wonderful. Who said that?
That was USA Today. Their editorial, and they
one of the
representatives was on Chris Matthews earlier today, and he said, usually we try to be centrist, we don't really try to get heated, but there's such a deficit of character, integrity in Donald Trump, the guy said, we felt that we had to put out this editorial, and that's scathing. I mean, to say you're not fit to clean the toilet in the first black president, I mean, that they took it from shining shoes to cleaning the bathroom.
Right. Congressman King added something to Moore down in Alabama.
Yeah.
He said he looked like a disheveled drunk who came off the street.
That was Bannon. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
Congressman King. Congressman yeah. King. He's a Republican, and that's what he said. Yeah. And of course, the yeah. senator from Alabama, the white senator from Alabama, told them not to vote for Moore. I forget his name,
yeah.
but he
Shelby.
Shelby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He told them not to vote for Moore. So there were some sensible Americans. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what do you think? What is your perspective
Go ahead. Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was just curious what the doctor's perspective would be on the future of the Republican Party as it stands now
yeah.
with all the infighting going on, depending upon what part of the
yeah.
camp you're supporting
or not supporting. So, you know, some of these particularly these white women, they got their eye on the presidency. You better keep an eye on them. The one who's at the
I know who you're talking about, the Indian.
She's from South Carolina, Charleston.
Right.
She was the one who did the right thing when that boy shot into that church. She said something
Ambassador Haley.
That was anti-Trump.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
She said
Trump was angry with her the other day because she felt that women should have been given a free platform in which to voice their opinion about what's going on.
Voice their opinion about the sexual harassment business. And
yeah.
Trump was pissed off with her about this. But this woman, take it from me. This woman is running for president, just as sure as my name is Wendell. Kamala Harris.
Oh, you're
California,
right. Oh,
a black
please.
Woman has already stated she's running for president.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And no way
yeah,
she can take
that.
She
woman.
And her sister.
I am so happy about Kamala Harris.
I tell you, I don't know. I've never seen such beauty in one, except for the
pain.
I haven't seen
woman.
Such beauty in one family, I tell you.
She reminds me of a young Kay Thompson.
Yeah, she does. And her sister's like Kay's daughters.
That's right.
Listen, I'm reminded of a few people who really deserves credit. You know, I'm talking about Charles Barkley coming out. Was it Charles
yeah,
Barkley?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I was surprised.
Coming out. I hope he runs for office.
No, we don't want.
Wait a minute. I hope he runs
Wait a minute. He did run.
Yes.
Wait a minute. He considered running for governor of Alabama. You all don't remember that?
I remember that.
For governor of Alabama at one point.
Yeah, there was talk of that. I don't know if he was.
Yes.
He was serious about it.
He
was thinking about running. I don't think he was actually in the race.
Maybe he wasn't serious at that
time.
But there are other
people.
But also, you know, we should be very proud of the people in Alabama. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
The black community in Alabama, the men,
every,
the women, the black
right.
women, especially in
and
Alabama.
And the young white,
boy,
the young
they
white
stood
students.
Up to be counted. They stood
that's
up
right.
to be counted, and I said,
yes,
really,
I'm
they are absolutely wonderful.
These are
remember
all my
the
ancestors.
First part from Washington? These,
right.
yeah, yeah.
These are all my ancestors, black
good
and
stuff.
White.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Wow.
I have a great investment in Alabama. No, I have a historical investment because my
the
grandfather
days have gone
was a slave down there.
The days have gone with the women, and hello, Miss Scarlett. It's completely gone.
Right. Wait a minute. Would you believe somebody
what?
Actually said that? Willie Geist
really?
On MSNBC? He said, Willie
no,
Geist said...
That.
No, he said the boys' club
really?
Is closed. No, something like, and I said the slave market is closed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alabama's closed the slave market. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I got a Willie Geist is on Chuck Scarborough. I mean, Joe Scarborough and Mika.
Right.
So I got my own opinions about them. I mean, they were real cool with Donald Trump. Until he started going off
going
them,
after them, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he went off on
both of them, and because they would have him on the show, they helped him. They helped raise his profile
yeah.
because
uh-huh.
it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Wayne. As long as we have these corporations behind these news outlets, you're going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they would
That's
have
right.
him on their show every morning because of the wild stuff,
what is Trump going to say while today? Because he was raised. And so Joe Scarborough, who's a Republican, who's full of it, right? But anyway, they had him on a show. And Mika, who's supposed to be the Democrat, daughter of Brzezinski, who was Carter's Secretary of State, she's supposed to be a staunch Brzezinski is her father. Yeah. She was supposed to be a staunch Democrat. But here she is looking at Joe. I knew they were in love 4 years ago, and she would just look at him like, oh, Joe, when he was saying all that crazy stuff. So they were cool with Donald Trump before when he was running. They helped raise his profile. So now they want to come back and flip on him when he shows who he truly is, and all of a sudden Joe is all surprised. Because
on the street, that's called payback.
That's called when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. That's what that's called, too.
That's the payback.
I'm surprised NBC didn't have anything to say about their relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Considered clean and above board, you know.
That helps sell the show, right? When it goes back to the corporate issue.
Exactly.
That's why NBC now has Megyn Kelly has her own hour on the show, right?
Right.
That's why The View now has Meghan McCain on, because they want to get that crossover view of people who are Republicans. They're trying to get everybody because, like you said, it's a corporate entity. So they're trying to let's get everybody. You know,
I mean, the Bushes are prominently featured on NBC there. You know, I mean, the thing is that Billy Bush, I'm certain, is going to rise from the debacle
from
and it's really not his fault. You know, it's not like
it's not.
He was egging him on.
Well,
you know,
he should not have voted
like a child.
Well, here's the thing. The thing about that is. And here's the thing. This is what gets Democrats in trouble. And I'm glad Christian Gillibrand held Al Franken. Unfortunately, Al Franken had to go down when it became a whole bunch of women that alleged came out, when it became more than one. But the Democrats always get in trouble because we try to act like, okay, we're the responsible ones, right? And then once you know, like I said last week, once you know better, you're supposed to do better, right?
That's right.
So when the Democrats come out and talk about when Trump is talking that stuff on the bus, and said it's locker room talk. There's every guy, we talked about this already, every guy that's ever been in a locker room has heard those individuals who like to have those conversations, who like to talk about, oh, I was such a man last night with my wife. We all know people like that. You might not, you probably don't engage in it. There's some individuals that do. If you care to engage in that, that's you. But when Trump said that, oh, it's locker room talk, and everybody on the Democratic side said, oh, they don't talk like that. Locker room is not any locker room I've been in. They know they're full of it. They were full of it. Just admit it and say, yeah, they do, but it's not right. It doesn't make it right. But instead, we jam ourselves up trying to always act like, well, we don't do that, we don't do that, and then come to find out, yeah, it does happen. And certainly you're talking about issues between men and
you know what it's, and you know what it's called? History catching up with you.
Yeah.
Over 300 years of using women's bodies and not having to say, no one says anything. That's what this is all about. This is a psychology developed in this country through slavery. I want everybody to remember that. This is not happenstance. This is historical reference, that access to women's bodies for over 300 years, and no one could stop you all, especially a slave master. And brothers began to copy the slave master, okay?
Right.
And when a woman couldn't be protected, he would call her a whore. And she had no one to stand up for her,
well,
when this white man was raping her.
You know,
Dr. Grant,
you know,
you're absolutely right.
I want to recommend something. I want to recommend something. Excuse me. You know, I've been taking some notes. There is a movie out. It's an old movie. Jamie Foxx is in it. The name of it is
Django.
Django takes. Yeah,
he's a bad mamma jamma in that movie.
Oh boy, you have to see that.
Yeah, you got to see it. Yes.
What we'll be talking about today, and the people don't want that to happen. With Django, with Jamie Foxx.
Right,
boy.
That's a movie about
old
my great grandfather.
But see it.
No, that's a
what'd
movie
say,
about
Glenn?
My great grandfather. Okay.
Whoa. Okay.
That's the personality he had. Okay.
Yes. Django.
Right.
That's why he lived Yes.
I always say that, you know, it's based on this whole system, this whole facade, this whole creation of America coming and people moving here and just wanting to struggle and build this nation up, you know, and discovering America. First off, it was a discovery to the dude that they claimed discovered it, Christopher Columbus. Yeah, well, let me say, so what's really first is he was lost, right? That's why he called the Native Americans Indians. Secondly, it was a discovery to him because people were already traveling back and forth. Black people were already coming back and forth here long before that. Native Americans were here, so it was a discovery to them. And so everything they built on developing this nation is white supremacy, imperialism.
That's right. It's a lie. Yes.
Like this guy riding to the polls. This guy riding to the polls as a cowboy. The original cowboys were black. So how you gonna ride? You gonna put on this? Now the white boys coming. They want to make being a cowboy all the stylish thing. But back in the day, they couldn't. Who's your cowboy? Go get that cowboy. Get the slaves used to handle that. They were the cowboys originally.
That's right.
They
made let me throw Dick Gregory in here, the comedian Dick Gregory.
Yes, oh, we miss his
saying
voice,
that Columbus discovered America is like saying two people walking down the street together, and the sister says to the brother, "Isn't that a beautiful Cadillac over there?" He said, "Yeah." And he says to her, "Let's go over and discover it."
That's
Dick
right.
Gregory.
I have a story about Dick Gregory, by the way, since you mentioned that name. Gus was driving Dick Gregory, or Dick Gregory was driving to someplace because he had just, his wife or his daughter or something had just had had a baby or were pregnant, and they were and Dick Gregory told us to Jeff Edinburgh, okay? And a trooper stopped him.
Okay.
And the trooper and Gregory was driving very fast. This is a true story because Gus told me.
Uh-huh.
And he said the trooper was nasty. They were beyond the Mason-Dixon line, and the trooper was, you know, yelling at him. But Gregory said, "Listen, I've got to get there. I've got to get there because my baby is being born and he's sick. All right." You know what that man said? He hopes a little N-I-G-G dies. That's the South for you. That's the South for you, okay?
Where did that happen?
In a minute, on his way to the South, he was having his grandson or somebody being born or something, and he was sick.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and that's a true story that was told. But I want to mention who's on for next week, Gwen, and I know you're going to be very interested.
Who is that?
Sally Carrol.
The role model. You know, For black women,
Sally,
the first black woman president,
the head of the NAACP in San Jose,
head of the NAACP
in New Jersey. She was one of the first women to be appointed to the Newark Police Department, assigned to the juvenile squad.
I'm so glad.
I hope all the people from the New Jersey, especially NAACP, is aware of this. She will be on next week. And I talked to her, Sally this week, and she is lucid. She is fine. The only thing she's not doing is walking and driving to Amanada, Virginia.
I'm so proud. She paved the way for Kamala Harris.
Oh,
Sally Carrol paved the way for Kamala Harris.
I was living in L.A. when Kamala Harris was elected Attorney General. And that was one of the time when, you know, the president came out there and visited, and they had a little picture of him and Kamala walking on the runway, and they were like, "Hey, you smile a little bit too much, buddy. You better worry about when you get old." But she is definitely a sharp, very sharp sister. I don't know if one term in the Senate you can run for president, but I think JFK did that. So
hold the phone, Barack Obama came down to Daytona Beach where I live. And they said this nice young senator who's just been in there a few months coming down to Daytona. So I ran over to the Dickinson Center to meet this young man. I spent the whole afternoon with him with no Secret Service.
Wow.
And 6 months later, that young man ran for president of the United States.
That's true.
I don't have a picture to prove it, and I'm upset. Okay? So he was only in the Senate a few months, do you understand, before he ran for president.
You're very right.
I know it
because I stand corrected.
What's that?
But he also had that platform when he gave that amazing speech at the convention, I believe, in not 2000, but maybe 2004 or something like that, where
he had only been in the Senate a few months, okay? So that can't stop you, Kamala Harris. Take it from me. And because I was standing next to him down in Daytona Beach after he gave his speech, and there was no Secret Service. He was just a senator.
Right.
And I spent the whole afternoon chatting with him. I'm so upset with myself.
You know,
I didn't have a camera.
We're coming up on 5 minutes left before the show. And
Aunt
Grandma, you might not be interested in this aspect, but I think that Wayne and Byron are, because and this part of the description I put up for the show this evening, that Eli Manning was starting back for the New York Giants this past Sunday. And you know I got to mention that. Yeah, my New York Giants, even though they lost, it was justice was served. And I think Dan Jones mentioned something about the moral arc of the justice bending curve.
Okay. Well, what about my
Eli
brother
Manning,
who goes to the knee? What about him? Did he get a job yet?
Kaepernick.
No, he still
has
a job.
Yeah, he was at Rikers Island.
What's his name again?
Colin Kaepernick.
Has he gotten a job yet?
And the Eagles need a quarterback. No, he hasn't been signed, and the Eagles need a quarterback.
Yeah, come on,
we need to rally for him, you know? We need to
do something
about
that. We need to rally for Kaepernick, okay?
Yeah, because if Trump was the son, was the back of this, let that man play basketball again.
Football.
You know,
that's
football, whatever it was, let him play.
Football.
You know, all the black athletes. I admire the athletes for getting them down on their knees. They're a credit to our community.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. And Wayne and Brian and the love of my life, your son.
Byron.
It's been a great conversation. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Same here.
You are a very special person, Dr. Grant. Thank
Eric,
you for your
courage. Eric used to practice on me when he was a little boy.
Practice?
How he was going to treat women. How he was going to treat women. Always giving me a
practice?
Hug.
Practice?
He had a crush on
you. Yeah, practice.
I'm announcing it publicly. He had a crush on you.
He was only two or three
practice.
Years old.
What's
yeah.
practice?
And practice. Repeat after me. Practice makes what?
Yeah, it makes perfect. You're right. Right. You know, you can certainly ask what's his name used to be with the 76ers. Practice. What?
Right. That's how you sounded like Wayne. Practice. But we want to. We got to get ready to close it. Aunt Gwen.
Yes.
Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant.
Come back
yes.
again.
Noted. Doctor and what is it all that you do, helping the ladies and helping everybody?
I wrote for
Essence
Magazine
right.
for 25 years.
Yeah.
Wrote for Essence Magazine, the only black advice columnist in the United States of America. You had Dear Abby and a few others, but you only had me for Essence Magazine for 25 years.
And dance background? And you had a dance background?
Try it out for West Side Story when no blacks were on Broadway with Pat, Kay's sister. So she validates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were
that
something
during
else
the
in our day.
Band studio day.
Okay, we got to go. We got
nerve.
2 minutes on Gwen.
Okay, I love
go ahead,
you all.
Gwen, real quick.
Love you.
I love
you too.
Okay.
We'll do it again.
Yes,
Dr.
indeed. Gwen,
bye-bye.
Goodbye,
that
Byron,
was a,
Wayne, and Eric.
Good night.
Okay.
All right. Good night. Take care.
Good night.
All right.
Night.
Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant. We got Sally Carroll next week. My cousin Sally Carroll, but she's the type of lady that there needs to be a movie about. A black woman cop in, the 50s, Ma? I didn't know that. But,
yeah,
you know, any one of my relatives that's wearing a gun,
yeah.
I always like to get to know them and hear their stories.
Back and forth but, Virginia.
I want to say thank you to our resident historian, Brother Byron Saunders. Brother Saunders.
Peace and love.
Let your peoples know. There you go.
Wayne.
And Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, once again. Well, thank you, sir. It's been real.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. We had a great discussion tonight, really lively discussion. Everybody, we want to thank Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant again. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. You can listen to us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Or if you miss us at any time, you can listen to our archived episodes of the show. You can listen to them at any time. And also, We want to get some people calling in, seeing what you think about the show. All right. Thanks once again. I'm Citizen Payne, and you are the legendary. You are.
Kay Thompson Payne.
All
okay.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
Hello. Hey. Yeah.